topic called, well, roughly the idea that good leadership requires good listening. And I think we're giving a little extra time till a quarter to the hour. Is that correct? Okay. I noticed yesterday somehow the acoustics for kirtan in here are great, but for class, they're not. Kenya? Okay. It's kind of have to speak more. Kenya, okay, speak. So, I was going to start with the reference to this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we can read this as we would in a regular Bhagavatam class. So this is from the Majjalila, chapter 6, text 118. I don't know if increasing the volume helps, but you guys are the expert. Get the echo down or something. So, Aradina Mahaprabhu Bhattacharya Sane. Aradina Mahaprabhu Bhattacharya Sane. Aradina Mahaprabhu Bhattacharya Sane. Anande Karila Jagannatha Darashane. Anande Karila Jagannatha Darashane. Anande Karila Jagannatha Darashane. Please chant. Ladies, Aradina Mahaprabhu Bhattacharya Sane. Anande Kalila Jagannatha Darashane. Translation. The next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya together visited the temple of Lord Jagannath. Both of them were in a very pleasant mood. I'll just read a few more verses, although... Yeah, so we'll just read the text. When they entered the temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a seat, while he himself sat down on the floor out of due respect for a sannyasi. He then began to instruct Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Vedanta philosophy, and out of affection and devotion, he spoke to the Lord as follows. The Bhattacharya said, "Hearing Vedanta philosophy is a sannyasi's main business. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation, from a superior person." Lord Chaitanya replied, "You are very merciful to me, and therefore I think it is my duty to obey your order." Thus, for 7 days continually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything, and he did not indicate whether it was right or wrong. He simply sat there and listened to the Bhattacharya. Does it need to be that loud? That's like a lot of echo, seems, at least from here. Maybe it's okay over there. It's all right? Okay. On the eighth day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the eighth day, he listened for 7 days. Listened. Topic is listening. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sat and listened for 7 days. On the eighth day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me continually for 7 days. You have been simply listening, fixed in your silence. Since you do not say whether you think it is right or wrong, I cannot know whether you are actually understanding Vedanta philosophy or not. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I am a fool, and consequently, I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I am just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me. Only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of sannyas do I listen. Unfortunately, I cannot in the least understand the meaning you are presented. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, I accept that you do not understand. Yet even one who does not understand inquires about the subject matter. You are hearing again and again, yet you keep silent. I cannot understand what actually is within your mind. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then revealed his mind. Or we could say, then, after Sarvabhauma came to him back and saying, I don't understand what's in your mind. Then, after he inquired submissively, I don't understand what's in your mind. Then he responded, I can understand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking, I can understand the meaning of every sutra very clearly, but your explanations have simply agitated my mind. Purport, the factual meaning of the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra is as clear as sunshine. The Mayavadi philosophers simply tried to cover the sunshine with the clouds of interpretations imagined by Shankaracharya and his followers. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Bhattisthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bicharane Namase Shashinavadi Pashtatari Satarane Om Ajnana Tamiyandasha Janan Anjan Salakaya Chakshur Ummanitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So this story we're hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a senior, an elder. He was a great scholar, highly influential person within the community of Puri and beyond. And he wanted to instruct Lord Chaitanya on the Vedanta philosophy. He was thinking this is helpful for him. So Mahaprabhu accepted this as his kindness. Some of his followers said, no, 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 you shouldn't. Why should you spend so much time with him? Mahaprabhu said, no, he's being merciful to me. He's trying to help me, so it's my duty to listen to him. So he sat and listened for 7 days. The Supreme Personality of God had sat and listened to a jiva speak to him wrong philosophy for 7 days. He didn't interrupt him. He didn't correct him. He just listened for 7 days. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Leader, the Supreme Teacher, the Supreme manifestation of God's mercy on the conditioned souls. And one of the ways he exhibited this mercy, which is the topic for our discussion today, is he sat and listened for 7 days. So it's an interesting example for us to think about and try to understand what's the meaning of that and how should we apply that meaning? How do we follow in Mahaprabhu's footsteps ourselves? So the topic, therefore, for today's talk is leadership by listening. So we often think that being a leader means your job is to tell people what to do. Isn't it? Like if you're a new devotee and they say, Prabhu, there's only three of us in the temple, and we'd like you to be the temple commander. So immediately you think, okay, great. Who am I in charge of? And what am I supposed to tell them to do? Isn't it? In the first meeting, you sit down and say, okay, here's what you're supposed to do. Isn't it? That's so now I'm a leader. I get to tell people what to do. So I would propose that that's not the most mature understanding, and that actually before we can tell people what to do, we have to first learn to become listeners, and that the best leaders are the best listeners. Case in point here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that at the very least, to make the point that telling or speaking is secondary or has to come after good listening. At the very least, in a chronological order, it has to come after good listening. So there's a lot of ways that this could be discussed, and there's many, many points, a lot more than could be made in an hour. But I'd like to share some thoughts on this topic with everyone, hopefully shed some light on this concept of the importance of leaders being good listeners, and then would encourage everyone, hopefully you'll find some interest and inspiration, and then perhaps pursue it more, study more on your own, because I can't cover everything that needs to be there. So, therefore, looking at this listening concept, I would suggest that for Vaishnavas in particular, this is an assembly of Vaishnavas, that there's three particular categories of listening that should be prioritized. There may be more, but preliminary, at least, I would like to suggest this, that as Vaishnavs and as Vaishnav leaders, three primary categories that we need to listen to. The first one, we have to listen to authority. If we're going to be leaders, we have to listen to authority, spiritual authority. Second principle is we need to learn and we need to put into practice listening to others. Devotees, people we meet, outside people, as a category. And the third, we need to learn to listen carefully to the self. And I would put that both in terms of capital S self and small self. Small s self. So three categories, and we'll look at these one after another. Listen to authorities, to be good leaders, to be Vaishnavas, but especially as leaders. Listen to authorities, listen to others, and listen to our self, small n capital S. So, listening to authorities, we'll start with that one. We understand how important listening, or we usually use the word hearing, but similar meaning. I think in this context, we could say the same meaning. We know that hearing is tremendously emphasized within our Vaishnava process. And if we're going to be leaders, we need to be reasonably good at following and applying and set an example of the Vaishnava processes of our sadhana. So we know the first principle of devotional service is shravana, which means hearing. So for Vaishnavas, and especially if we're leaders among Vaishnavas, we have to hear. And we're instructed with our japa, which is our essential practice of sadhana, that we should, what's the term that's used in regard to a method of hearing? What's the adjective that's used? We should hear attentively. What did you say? Attentively, yeah? Rapt attention. Okay, good. Another way it's described, with rapt attention. So attentively, with rapt attention. So not just that we finger the beads or go through the process externally, but with rapt attention. In other words, hearing deeply, hearing attentively. In the Bhagavad Gita, many, many texts about hearing. Just one comes to mind, 7th chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." So how do we know Krishna in full, free from doubt? First thing, now hear. Okay, so hearing again in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9 processes of devotional service, Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada's beginning opening section chapter 10, techniques of hearing and remembering. I'll just read two quick sections here, two paragraphs. The beginning of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is hearing in Sanskrit called Shravanam. All people should be given the chance to come and join devotional parties so that they may hear. This hearing is very important for progressing in Krishna consciousness. When one links his ears to give oral reception to the transcendental vibrations, he can quickly become purified and cleansed in the heart. Lord Chaitanya has affirmed that this hearing is very important. It cleanses the heart of the contaminated soul so that he becomes quickly qualified to enter into devotional service and understand Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended this process of hearing as a means of self-realization in the present age of Kali. In this age, it is very difficult to follow thoroughly the regulative principles and studies of the Vedas which were formerly recommended. However, if one gives oral reception to the sound vibrated by great devotees and acharyas, that alone will give him all relief, will give him relief from all material contamination. Therefore, it is the recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should simply hear from authorities who are actually devotees of the Lord. So, hearing, listening to authorities is essential for us as Vaishnavas. And if we want to be leaders, and we all want to do that, following in the footsteps of Prabhupada and our gurus and our predecessor acharyas, we want to take up the mantle, take up the responsibility of sharing with others Krishna consciousness and helping them advance in Krishna consciousness, which means taking up the role of leadership. So to do so, we have to first be able to hear properly from authorities. And there's some specific qualities that were mentioned in this context. One, we have to hear submissively. Prabhupada says we shouldn't hear in a challenging mood. We may have some doubts, lots of stories about that. Not time to discuss those now, but there may be some doubt. Prabhupada says some places that doubt or questioning is a sign of intelligence. We don't want a society full of, quote, yes men or yes women who don't question, who don't inquire philosophically, but we should do so in a submissive mood, which means in part an open heart and an acknowledgement that a little humility is there of our own position. And of course, from the right source, so submissively, from the right source, and attentively. So in this context of listening and attentively, what does that mean? In part, it means blocking out the distractions. Like when we chant japa, we're trying to block out the distractions from our eyes, from other things we hear, from other things we're perceiving. Stop those and focus on just hearing. And of course, mostly we're just hearing our own mind. So when we chant japa, we're supposed to block out these other distractions. So I would discuss also a little later. In other listening, we also have to be prepared to block out the distractions. It's hard to do when we're chanting japa. It's even harder to do when you're listening to other people. And sometimes, like when it says submissive hearing, part of that means blocking out the things that prevent us from hearing. Oh, why is he giving class? I joined on Tuesday. He moved in the temple on Wednesday. I don't have to listen to him. He's junior. Or I don't like this, or I don't like that. You know, so many things that help block it out. So, Prabhupada's explaining that hearing, again, in summary about this point of authorities, hearing from authorities is essential for us as leaders. It described here in Nectar Devotion. It purifies us, and of course, it's the method of us gaining knowledge. We also understand it's the method of pleasing Krishna. Krishna wants us to hear. Now hear, O Arjuna, he says. And Prabhupada also told us that the best leader is a good follower. So how can you be a good leader if you haven't heard properly from the proper sources? You know, we all are battling with our false ego. I remember I was 20 when I became a devotee, And I remember thinking in my maturity of 21 that Mahaprabhu took sannyas at 24. Vaisheshika Prabhu always talks about the importance of goals. So I was thinking, I can shoot for that. I got 3 years to prepare myself. So, a little premature in my sense of spiritual maturity. And that's a block. If we're going to hear attentively from our authorities, which is mandatory, we have to have an open heart. We have to have a sense of humility and a sense of our situation. Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he was trying to figure himself out of the whole problem. When he realized, Krishna, I'm lost, I need help, and he surrendered, then Krishna instructed him. So we understand Prabhupada talks like that. If you approach a spiritual master or the spiritual master in a challenging mood, it's not going to work. In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes that at least theoretically, it's so wonderful, he's so kind to us, gives us so much space. It says, at least theoretically, accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with that mood, study to see what he says. So first point, to be a good leader, we have to be good listeners to our authorities. Okay? Second category. To be good leaders, we also have to learn to listen to others. There's a tendency to think that, again, leadership means telling people what to do. But there's a nice definition of leadership that we refer to in the ISKCON Leadership and Management course. And that definition is in its broad category. It's not just devotee, but certainly applies to us. That a leader is someone who knows where they're going and gets others to willingly and happily follow. Nice definition. Knows where they're going and gets others to willingly and happily follow. Which, in simple ways, kind of like implies two things. One, they have some vision. And for devotees, where does a vision come from? You know, I want to go here. Where does that vision come from? We just talked about it. I'll give you a hint. Comes from the authorities. Comes from Krishna. Comes from Guru. Comes from Shastra. You know? We want to help people. How do we do that? Shastra says we connect them with Krishna. We want to increase the preaching. How do we do that? Well, we hear from senior people like Vaisheshika Prabhu, who's been here talking about how to improve our book distribution, or we hear from our spiritual master how to practice our sadhana better. So if we have a vision, that vision comes from Krishna. You are spirit soul. You are eternal servant and lover of God. You are pure devotee. That vision comes. We have that vision. Spread the movement of Christian consciousness. That's the vision. And then gets others happily and willingly to follow. Now, I have experience teaching that course. I probably, it's described the best way to learn something is teach it. So I just know it must mean I really, really need to learn how to be a better leader, because I've had to teach that course, or I've got the opportunity to teach that course probably 30 times. And it's a wonderful course. And the very first exercise we do with the devotees is we ask them to get out of their kind of analytical head and discuss, and then do a drawing of a positive and a negative leadership experience that they've had. You know, to tell us about it and then draw it. And I didn't have the ability to put something up on the screen, but I've saved some of these pictures and heard so many of these stories. And it's almost always the same story told in a different way. And so usually the picture, remember one I just captured in Russia, I took a picture of, the negative experience showed a devotee, you can kind of imagine, like kind of with their arms out and their eyes wide open and their hair or maybe their sika kind of like standing out like they were being electrocuted and like floating in space. That was their negative experience of kind of being zapped by a leader. And the other ones almost always show pictures of some kind of nurturing, caring leadership. And sometimes these are like big, tough, 50-year-old American and European and Russian men. A lot of women take the course as well, but just to get the sense, a lot of big, tough guys, and you ask them, tell us about your personal experience with a leader that you thought was positive or negative. And predominantly comes back with a sense of they listened to me and they nurtured me. That was a good leader. They talk also about good example and strict and all those kind of things. But when they do this drawing, it's almost always this concept of they cared for me in different ways. You know, caring can mean different things. And that they listened. And when they didn't, that was what people perceived as a negative leader experience. So then this idea that to be good leaders, we need to also learn to hear or to listen to others. This is particularly emphasized for us in the Shastra, Nectar of Instruction, Text 4. You can all join in if you like. Tadati pratigrinati goyam ayati pritchati bhunkte bojayate chaiva shadvidham pritilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, this is the key one, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Prabhupada writes, even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. Describes that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. So this revealing our minds in confidence and inquiring or hearing or listening from others confidentially, this is an essential aspect. They are two of the six essential aspects of sharing of love between devotees. So being able to reveal our minds in confidence and listen to others is essential for devotees, and even more so essential as leaders. So how are we supposed to do that? What does that actually mean to listen? So we'll discuss that a little bit here. Tamahar Prabhu and his class yesterday, also about leadership, emphasized the concept of servant leader. He talked about that quite a bit. So this mood that I should listen to others in a mood of wanting to help them. And we know, like in our general world and before we're trained to do this properly, our tendency is we listen to others waiting for the opportunity to talk. Isn't it? If you watch yourself a little bit, sometimes when you're listening to somebody, your eyes are listening more than your ears, because I'm watching your mouth to see when you take a breath so that I can then pounce and tell you what I wanted to say. And then you wait for me to, and then you jump in and tell me what you want to say. So basically, it's a mutual talking exercise. There's no listening going on, isn't it? And sometimes, even in our efforts to, we talk about preaching to people. Sometimes in our preaching, we in a mood of sincerity, but sometimes not so well sensitive to the situation or understanding the effect of it. We think preach means just talking at people. And we've all seen these wonderfully enthusiastic, rare, but wonderfully enthusiastic Christian friends that sometimes, you know, stand on the street corner with their scripture and hold it up, threatening people as they go by with what happens if you don't become a happy guy like me. Isn't it? And they're thinking that they're effectively sharing their message, but to a large extent, for most people, it's very counterproductive. Very counterproductive. So they think they're teaching or they're speaking, but because nobody's listening, there's no effect. So listening, preaching, and having people listen is very different than preaching and talking. It's just kind of like, if you can imagine, if we were a radio station and we're broadcasting on some wavelength, but nobody tunes into it. And we could spend our whole lives broadcasting, you know, every morning we're broadcasting, you know, the Bhagavatam class from the Chicago Temple or from the DC Temple, wherever. All day long, so many activities. We've got a ladies' hour and a mother's hour and a brahmacharya hour and a grasta hour and a sannyasi sangha. And wow, we're really, shoo, we're filling the world with Krishna consciousness. And in one sense, the sound waves are there. So on the subtle level, you know, we know that's beneficial. But just to think about the example for a minute, if nobody tunes into that station, how effective is our communication? So the question is, we need to listen, but also we want to listen in part because that helps us understand whether other people are listening. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went on for 7 days, and it's kind of funny. Why did it take him 7 days before he stopped and asked Mahaprabhu, are you listening to me? It's kind of like, well, you know, excuse me, sir, but not really. I mean, you know, you're talking and I'm hearing what you say, but as far as penetration, is it making sense? No, I'm completely confused. And it's almost like, why didn't you pick that up a little while ago? You know, that's a whole other question, how that happened. So if we're going to listen, if we're going to be good listeners, one, we need to do so in a mood of service, not like, okay, listen to you just so I can defeat you, or I listen to you to wait for a chance that I can say what I want to say, but I listen to you because I want to help you. I want to help you make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And we have this mantra that we utilize in the communication seva, some of you may have heard before, which is kind of a secret to how to listen, and based on that, how to build loving relationships, and that is needs, interest, and concerns. That if we're saying leaders need to be good listeners, how do I do that? I need to understand the other person's needs, interests, and concerns. Kind of like if I'm going to broadcast, I need to understand, okay, let's say I'm going to open a television station in a poor country. Well, if I understood the situation, I may learn that the people there don't own television stations, but they all have radios. So maybe I should broadcast on a radio. Or I may learn that, you know, I'm a powerful English speaker, but they speak Russian. So maybe we need a translator there. So if I understand their needs, interests, and concerns, then I can speak much better. So if I want to help people, if I want to teach, if I want to lead, then it's really important I understand their situation. Because if I understand their situation, then I can understand how to be relevant. My instruction can be relevant to them. There's an example that I like to use. It's from a I guess he's a devotee. I personally met the gentleman, gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and he accepted it in a spirit of a little bit of veneration for the Bhagavad Gita, so that way he's a devotee, so we can say Bhakta Stephen Covey gives an example that I think is a nice one. He talks about how either he himself or some man that he met once, and some of you may hear this story, he was on a train in a subway, and there was another man, there were two kids. The kids were running up and down the train car, making lots of noise, disturbing everybody, you know, playing, and just a complete distraction, and Covey, whoever he telling his story, was really disturbed and couldn't figure out why is his father not quieting his kids down? Doesn't he realize what's going on? And after a few minutes, he just can't stand anymore, and he leans over to the man and says, excuse me, are you not aware that your children are disturbing every single person on this train? It's like, wake up, what's wrong with you? And the man was kind of like in a bit of a daze. He said, oh, I'm so, so sorry. I'll get them right now. He said, please forgive me. We just came back from their mother's funeral, and we're all a little disturbed in mind right now. And immediately felt, oh my gosh. So he's kind of putting his imposition of why, what's wrong with this guy, what the situation is. He's coming to judgments and communicating based on that. Whereas perhaps if he said, excuse me, sir, is there anything wrong? You know, can I help? Is there a difficulty here? Oh yeah, their mother died, etc. Changes the whole situation once he heard. But before hearing, he's just prescribing. You're more or less, you're a bad father. You're insensitive to everybody else's needs. You're being selfish. Your kids are out of control. All based on false information, because he didn't hear. He just assumed he understood. So sometimes devotees, we also do that. We kind of superimpose a sense of the situation. You know, we may superimpose, well, when I was your age, or when I was in an experience, this was what was good for me. Therefore, this is what you should do. Now, sometimes it's true. Sometimes our experience can really come into play. But sometimes not. You know, we've seen lots of situations. Hopefully we're better these days, but where, let's say, I was a brahmachari for 10 years, loved the ashram, take the dust of the lotus feet of all the brahmacharis. But sometimes we may see a situation where brahmachari preaches to a family the way you'd preach or instruct a brahmachari. You know, some man and wife, you know, come into the temple with their six kids. Renunciation's not the best place to start. You know? And there's a good chance they're not going to come back. I mean, at least it's going to lessen the chance they're going to come back. You know? And similarly, sometimes we meet people that are very renounced. I mean, sometimes people walk in the door with little stuff and no interest in that. So probably the best place to start wouldn't be, well, you know, in bhakti yoga, we understand you can use everything in family life and just see, I've got six kids and aren't they wonderful? And here's my wife and I've got two cars. And he's like, whoa, that's not spiritual. But why am I telling him that? Because I like to hear what? Me. I like to hear about me. And I want to superimpose me on you. Once in a while it works. You walk in with your six kids, I got six kids too. Or you walk in with your backpack, you've been traveling around the country for, you know, 8 months. Wow, I'm a brahmachari. Here's what we do. But general, we need to understand, again, this term, what are their needs, interests, and concerns? Simple example, you walk into a doctor's office. What's the first thing? Well, in America, the second thing. First, they get your insurance information. Other parts of the world, what's the first thing they ask you? No, that's in America. That's what I said. That's the American thing. They want the insurance information to make sure they get paid. After they know they're going to get paid, what do they ask you? What's the problem? How are you? Well, I got this pain. How long have you had the pain? Is it sharp? Is it consistent? Is it something? Did your mother have the same thing? All these different questions. And then once they've understood, then they prescribe. So even a medical professional, first thing they listen, even you take your computer in, right? They ask you, what's it doing? How often is it? They just don't leave it off. Generally, they want some kind of description, and the doctor even more so. And I was just thinking about this morning, because she kind of put the idea in my mind. I was thinking, just like, imagine a friend calls you. You get a phone call from a friend, says, hey, I'm lost. I'm downtown. Where do I go? And you just start saying, well, turn right, turn left, go a half a mile. And then you hear like this, like terrible sound. You go, what's wrong? Well, I just fell in the river. Because if somebody says, can you help me with directions? What's the very first question you ask? Where are you? Isn't it? This is a common sense thing. Where are you? And then, okay, hold on, let's see. And then in your mind, okay, let's see, you're on the corner of such and such. That means you're on a one-way street going the wrong way, or that means this and that. And okay, so putting myself in your position, how can I help you from your position get to where you want to go and where I'm helping you go? But if you immediately start saying where you should go, you know, we'll walk down the steps, and I can't tell them from where I am because it won't work. It won't work. So you need to understand, right, first of all, where other people are, and then we can help them. So we have to be, and how do we understand where they are? Just like on the phone, what do? We ask, where are you? And then we listen, right? And they say, well, I'm in the corner of 1st and Smith. No, you're not. You're on Jones and 7th. No, I'm on Smith and 1st. No. Jones and 7th is a much better place to be. And anybody at the corner of Jones and 7th needs to do this. The first thing is, you know, your six kids, renunciation, move in the temple, don't worry about your student loans, whatever. You know, it's like, first we have to understand where they are from. Which, like japa, takes a little self-control. If we're listening to people, We have to be able to recognize that that means hearing them and not interjecting with my own concepts and not interjecting with my own experiences. Sometimes those are very valuable, but not often. So if we listen to people with that spirit, then we can actually help them. If we try to first understand where they are in their spiritual life, in their material life, in their spiritual practice, then we can help them. Therefore, we're advised, inquire confidentially, how are you? How's your japa? How's your reading? How's your service? How's your mind? How's your body? Right? Do you need some help? How can I help you? And then wherever they are, help them come to Krishna more, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And again, not if we're just ready to inject, oh, when I had that problem, here's what I did. You know, well, last time I was lost, the best thing to do is to get on the such and such freeway. It's like, you were lost when you were in Mississippi. I'm in Chicago. It's a different situation. Can you help me or not? You know, and when people just want to say, well, you know, when you're in Mississippi, you need to do A, B, and C. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hare Krishna. Have a nice day. We don't want to listen to those people anymore. That was what these leaders were showing us by these drawings. Those people that couldn't listen, they really weren't as effective in their leadership. They might have melt well. And of course, we can't, you know, over-exaggerate, but just within the examples given, to the extent we understand where people are, we can help them so much better. So that's the point with devotees. But it also, in terms of listening to others, again, listening for leaders, in order to spread the movement effectively, we also need to listen not just to devotees, but to listen to other people. Because it's like with devotees, if we want to help them effectively, we need to know what's important to them, what's their situation, what are their challenges, what are they enthusiastic about, you know, so we can help engage them properly. So the same thing with other people. Srila Prabhupada said something about this, very nice. This is from a letter to Tejas. He said, because we are in the material world, sometimes we require help. Another point is that a government officer becomes our admirer or member, then many others will follow. So try to make them sympathizers. Try to make them sympathizers. So Prabhupada is saying sometimes we need help. So again, looking at this next category of listening to others, as devotees, as leaders, we want to help serve Prabhupada's mission, serve our guru, our gurus, our previous acharyas, by helping to spread the mission. And Prabhupada says that means, as a category, we need the help of others. We need the help of devotees. We need the help of our donors. We need the help of so many different types of people. And Prabhupada said we should make them sympathizers. So if I'm going to sympathize with you, that means I need to understand you and I need to be enthused by you, inspired by you, value you. And how do you help me value you? Is it by just telling me about you? I've got 6 kids. The way for spiritual advancement is like this. Or is it, again, first by listening? If we're going to help make people sympathizers, as Prabhupada said, we need to also learn to listen. Because when we listen to people, then we understand where they're at, what their need, and then we, in terms of looking at these broader contexts of people, we also realize there's some shared interests there. Again, now we're talking about devotees, and now we're looking, and the same principles hold true with devotees, but looking at as far as leaders, we have to listen to our authorities, we have to listen to each other, we have to listen to others, because Prabhupada wants us to make them sympathizers to help us push on the movement. So again, this mantra, what's the mantra we said we should practice about listening? Needs, interests, and concerns. So for instance, we want to spread Krishna consciousness in Rogers Park. Park, right? You get it right? Okay. So there may be certain things where the neighbors can help us or hurt us. In Barcelona, Spain, there's a temple just off La Rambas, which is a place where there was recently a terrorist attack. Somebody ran over a bunch of people, sadly. But at Mangal Aarti time, the devotees, they get out some kind of soundboard and they put it in the windows for kirtan. Because they're in a neighborhood that basically starts about 6 o'clock at night and winds down about 4 o'clock at night. It's a total party, bar, neighborhood. Just it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But out of respect for the neighbors, understanding their needs, interests, and concerns, and probably learning, probably the hard way, with some complaints, I'm going to guess, they learned that drums and cartels don't go over well with neighbors that just went to bed at 2 or 3 when you're doing that at 4 or 5. So the needs, interests, and concerns, they've learned from their neighbors, and they are sensitive to their concerns. And that they've got a lot of friends. They have a lot of friends. People love us there. But if we woke them up every morning at 3 o'clock when they just went to bed, we're not going to. So if we're going to help people become sympathizers or friends or support the movement, we need to learn to understand their needs, interests, and concerns. Lots can be talked about on that. I won't get into too much detail. But just as another example, say the government. We have to work with the government. They gave us a permit that says you can serve food here. They allow us to have a certain number of people in the place. They give us a permit to like walk down the street. The government has certain needs, interests, and concerns, like safety. So if we listen to them and they say we're concerned about the safety, then probably some good things are going to come up. Probably our carts are going to be more safe. Probably our food's going to be more healthy. When I first moved to Washington, D.C., the year before the Rath Yatra, we found out the devotees went, took the prasadam, set it down on the ground in the middle of the field, in the sun, and drove away. You know, when food gets like, when it cools at the wrong degree, or if it's not kept hot, or if you don't keep the bugs out, who knows, you know, some kids walk by and take a look at it, and, you know, throw some, you know, whatever, there's some leaves and dirt, and, you know, let's put a couple, you know, whatever, little, here's a creature, let's see if it swims. And then, you know, the devotees show up, right? Like, hey, so the government's needs, interests, and concerns for safety. We have some mutual interest there. And if we listen to them, understand what their needs are, oftentimes we can find shared interest with the government, with the media, et cetera, and things progress. So by listening, we understand their needs, interests, and concerns, and we can even work together. There's no time I won't share the example I was going to give of some of my work with anti-cult groups who basically start out thinking that you people are misled, possibly brainwashed, and harmful to society. But by listening to their concerns, come to understand, well, what are they actually interested in? Well, we don't want families broken apart. Hey, we don't want that either. We want to make sure people have their free will. Well, we want that too. We want to make sure that people are acting with integrity. Well, we do too. What can you tell us about religious organizations and how they violate ethical standards? Maybe we can learn some things from you, okay, by listening. So good leaders understand that there's what we call in communications key audiences, or these people that can help us or hurt us, and we want to listen to them, okay? So the last category, three, we talked about listening to authorities, listening to others, okay, two subcategories, devotees, and then outside people, particularly those that can help us. So the last category, why leaders need to be good listeners and who we should listen to, is the self, capital S and small s. First one, Paramatma, Krishna's guiding us from within. We understand that description given in the Upanishads. There's the tree in the material world. There's two birds. We're one bird. We're distracted, enjoying happiness and distress, the different fruits. But when we learn to turn and listen to our friend, then we start understanding how to get out. And I was thinking about it. I don't know if devotees have ever written anything about it, but I think it'd be an interesting study. People in the world talk about your conscience. I mean, I've never read anything. Did anybody ever study what is the conscience? I think we might say it's Paramatma, you know, in the back of your mind saying, hey, is that really good for you? You know, and the question is, no, it's not. I'm not going to do that. Versus, doesn't matter. You know, there's that struggle. And when Krishna's talking to us as the Paramatma, and he talks to everybody, it's just a question whether we can hear. The other day with Vaishrava, I was distributing books, and some big kind of bulky guy walked by, older guy. You know, a little scruffy looking, very intent on where he's going, no interest in talking to us. And he walked by and he came back about 15 minutes later, going the other direction with a 12-pack of Budweiser beer. So I was thinking, you know, we're there saying, hey, here's an alternative, but he doesn't want to see it. And I was thinking how sad it is. This guy, he probably goes back to his room by himself, turns on his TV, which is just horribly making his mind even more unhappy, and drinks a few beers, feels worse until he's out of beers, gets out, walks by the Hare Krishnas again on his way to get a beer. But eventually, he'll stop and say, what's this all about? Because Krishna's inside saying, why don't you see what those guys are doing? Nah. He doesn't want to listen. So we have to make sure that we are trying to listen to Krishna in our heart. We understand that maybe our reception is not so good, but as devotees, we want to listen more and more because Krishna's there, that there's the Chaitya Guru. We don't talk about this a whole lot. We talk about the external manifestations of Guru, but the Guru is also in our heart also. So more and more, just like we want to listen to the previous acharyas, to our preeminent Siksha Guru, Srila Prabhupada, to our Diksha Guru, to other Siksha Gurus. We want to listen attentively, so we want to learn how to listen to the Guru within our heart more carefully too, and take his instructions. And then the small s is important. In the leadership and management course, one of the 16 principles for good leaders that's emphasized is balance. And sometimes we see in our movement, leaders, we don't apply this principle very well, because we have the example of Prabhupada, who was superhuman. And we think that's what it means to be. Just like when we first had the next generation of gurus, the example we had was Prabhupada. We should have had the inspiration from Prabhupada. We took the example from Prabhupada and we thought gurus were supposed to be like Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Later we've kind of matured to understand what it means to be guru, following his footsteps, but not to be able to do everything that he does. And because they thought that's what they were supposed to do, they got out of balance. And consequently, most of those people, great souls, exalted leaders and preachers and powerful people, they got out of balance and they lost their footing. They slipped, they fell from their spiritual life. So we need to be able to keep in balance. In someplace I just was there reading the story of Philadelphia of Gajendra. And Prabhupada talks about when Gajendra wandered into the water, well, he was dragged into the water by the crocodile, he was in trouble because he was out of balance. It wasn't his natural element. So the crocodile got stronger and stronger. And Gajendra was a creature of the land, got weaker and weaker. And Prabhupada in that purport, series of purports talks about, therefore, we need to be aware of what our proper situation is. He talks about different ashrams, you know, some people are better off as grihasthas, some people as brahmacharis, some people as sannyasis, but we should try to understand that. And in the Gita, Krishna himself says one should be moderate, sometimes translated as regulated, in eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. So again, balance. You know, in English they say all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So sometimes like all pushing, no recharging makes Vishnu a dull bhakta, you know? And if we get too dull, the material energy starts looking brighter and brighter if we get too dull. So balance. So what's the connection with balance? We have to listen to ourself, small s. If we're gonna, you know, it's a long haul to become Krishna conscious. And if we're gonna be good leaders, even to be devotees, we have to listen also to my needs. Same way we listen to other devotees' needs, we listen to other people's needs, the neighbors, the media, the government. We also have to listen to my needs. So how do I stay balanced? Making sure I'm attentive. You know, my body has needs. We just were on the phone yesterday with Kaladri Prabhu, such a warrior. He just had a big operation. He's on the Zoom conference with us, like all bandaged up, somehow pushing through, which is amazing. Yet some point was like, okay guys, I gotta quit. I gotta listen to my body now. I gotta rest. So our body's needs, our family's needs, our financial needs, our mental needs, our emotional needs, you know, to be also listening to those, because Prabhupada says in that way, like Gajendra, we can make sure we're balanced, we're in a natural situation, so we can fight against Maya. And we don't want to forget that Prabhupada said we should save ourselves first. And of course, we take guidance from our superiors, especially as newer devotees. Sometimes it's hard to understand, you know, what my needs are, Maybe as we become more mature, we have a more of a sense of those, but we always want to take the guidance of advanced devotees. But we need to be, we need to also listen to ourselves, listen to what our needs are, and not just think that, okay, I'm a warrior in the Sankirtan army, and if I self-destruct in flames of over-endeavor, that it's a glorious death. Well, no, it's actually foolish, because it's a long haul. We have to make ourselves focus for that. So in conclusion, the point I'm trying to make here is that to be successful as leaders, we have to be good listeners. We really can't be effective leaders. We really can't be We can't be very mature or advanced Vaishnavas without listening. And especially as leaders, we have to learn and apply the skills of good listening. First and foremost to the authorities, because if we're not hearing from the proper sources, then we're in material consciousness. We don't know how to get out. We have to listen to others, particularly with devotees, and building relationships is not just speaking to people. Loving relationships start with inquiring confidentially, with listening to others, with a genuine mood to help them, in a mood of servant leader, as Tamahar was talking about yesterday. And then understand that Prabhupada also wants us to build relationships, to make sympathizers, to create sympathetic relationships, or mutually beneficial relationships with other peoples. It's one of the duties of leaders is to not be isolationists, but to understand, to move our movement forward, we have to interact with people. They can help us. The government can help us, or they can hurt us. The neighbors can help us, or they can hurt us. Scholars can help us, or they can hurt us. You know, family members can help us, they can hurt us. So we need to build those relationships as leaders. And again, it has to begin with listening, understanding the other person's needs, interests, and concerns. As they say, try to walk a mile in the other person's shoes. See things from their perspective. And it takes practice and it takes hard work. And it starts with controlling our own minds and not just wanting to inject into them what we think or what we know, but try to understand, where are they? If I want to help someone, I have to ask them, where are you? If I don't take the time to ask, where are you? You know, well, I'm 29 and I have two kids and I'm in the middle of finishing my degree and I got a sick mother in India that requires me to send her $1,000 a month. Okay, based on that, maybe I can give you share some thoughts how you can come closer to Krishna. Or whatever. I'm 52, I'm divorced, I just quit my job, I got enough money in the bank to retire, and I'm looking for something to give my life to. Okay, that's a little different. Or I'm 19 and I can't hardly talk to you because I'm watching every girl that walks by. Okay, I understand a little differently where you're coming from. So let's talk about who's the all-attractive person. Okay? Based on what I'm listening to, what your needs are. So, authorities to others, devotees and outside people, and also to the self, the super self in the heart and my own self, and overcome the tendency that we have to want to tell, to want to talk, to want to be the controller, to want to be the best friend, because Krishna's the best friend. And what we want to learn to do is how to hear from people in a mood of compassion so we can bring them closer to Krishna. And I'll end with one of my favorite quotes from St. Francis, who said to his disciples, you should preach all day long, and when necessary, also speak a few words. Very wise. So we should be acting properly and listening attentively, and when necessary, speak a few words. So thank you all very much for listening attentively. Appreciate it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maybe a couple questions by Vaisheshika Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Beautiful class, very helpful, practical, philosophically based. It's really a full meal. Thank you.
If there's any credits, because you took me on a book distribution a few days ago, so I was purified and taste a little of enthusiasm and proper service.
You mentioned in the beginning about the quality of listening, and that word rapture came up.
Rapt attention.
I just wanted to mention what the word actually comes from, rapture.
Mm.
And when somebody's listening with rapture. But the word rapt itself means lifted up and carried away, transported with emotion.
Oh, wonderful.
And also, it's just a point about how somebody who's speaking, when there's a qualified listener, this comes up in the Bhagavatam, then so much comes out. If somebody's not really listening, and you can tell they're not listening, then it's really hard to speak. But if somebody's actually really interested in what you're saying, then somehow there's this transmission that comes from another level that's really powerful. And the whole process, Shravanam Kirtanam, depends on the listener to be able to draw out from the speaker something that's really valuable. It doesn't happen without that.
Very good point. Thank you. Yeah, very good point. Very important point to add to what I talked about there, that how, what important role listening plays in the process of exchange of information. You know, as Sutta Goswami is applauding the sages in Naimisharanya for their questions, and Sukadeva Goswami is appreciating Prikshit Maharaj, and he's saying, I'm being more inspired by your questions because he's listening attentively. So thank you. Very important point.
He was listening so attentively, it says at the beginning of the 10th canto, he said, I forgot about eating, sleeping, and he said, or drinking, even water. He said, normally these things would trouble me, but I'm listening so rapturously that it doesn't bother me at all. I don't even care anymore.
Subhapur, you had a question?
Yeah. I have two questions.
Two. Okay.
The first one.
As long as Nanda Sutta gets time for his one, too.
Okay, the one.
Okay.
In the beginning of your class, you highlighted that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he, there was a point when he questioned Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with submission, then that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded to him. So, the question is, as a leader, you will be able to understand, and I'm asking, would you be able to understand when to talk is when you build that trust by listening? It seems that that was a threshold to, is that the indication of this example?
I followed the point, but not the specific question.
It seems Lord Chaitanya listened for 7 days.
Yes, yeah.
And when he started to instruct was when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually broke from his...
Right, I understood that context, but then therefore...
As a leader,
okay,
you listen until you build that type of trust.
Okay. Or
by listening, you build the trust that enables for you to actually be able to say something.
Yeah. In the communications course, one of the things we teach is reflective listening, which is a skill that takes a little bit of time. We talked about it in principle here. One of the benefits, extremely important benefit of good listening, is it builds trust. Just like, again, if you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you what's wrong, when you're convinced he's really or she's really understood you, then you feel more comfortable placing yourself in their care. But if you just walk in and they start telling you, yeah, I can see what's wrong. Okay, we'll have an operation this afternoon. You're like, whoa, I don't think so. I don't have any trust. Or if you're talking to somebody who says they're lost on the phone and they start giving you directions, if you don't trust them, then you're kind of like, well, how do you know I'm here? Have you heard me? Do you understand where I am? I'm not on the southeast corner. I'm on the northwest corner, and I can't walk across the street because it's 8 lanes wide and there's trucks going 70 miles an hour. Click, hang up, cut off the communications because you obviously haven't listened to me. So that's an extremely important point, is by listening it develops trust. If we take the time to listen to people, then they naturally increase their trust of us because we've shown, one, we take the time, and two, we've actually understood, okay, now I got it. You're on the southeast corner. Okay, well, if that's the case, then what you need to do. Okay, I got it. You got a wife and six kids. Okay, here's what I suggest. Or I got it. You're 52. Okay, here's what I suggest. Based on that, it's just natural they're going to trust more. Is that okay? I gave an example, kind of along the lines of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I watched Vaisheshika Prabhu do this the other day, and I don't want to say I learned it because I'm still trying. But his methodology of approaching people is when he sees them come, he gives them a big smile and he waves. Which in a sense you could say is a preliminary test. Do you have enough trust to stop and talk to me? And if they don't wave back, they don't smile back, they put their head down, they keep going, he knows there's not enough trust here. You don't have enough interest or trust to talk to me, so I can't force myself upon you. You are not ready to listen. Isn't it? The people that wave, and like you said, there was one couple, we gave the example the other day, they were like, you know, bring it on. Wow, where are you guys coming? They're fantastic. They spent a half an hour with them, took a whole bunch of books. And other people, they don't respond, they go away. So they're saying, I don't trust you. I don't want to listen to you. So Vaishta says, okay, Krishna, you know, he's in charge. I'm not the controller. They don't want to listen. I could try to talk at that guy all day long, but he doesn't want to listen. So let me develop that trust. And then what's a beautiful thing is smile and wave, and then it respond, okay, have a great day. Big smile, have a great day. Now, what did he do in context of this, or what do we do when we're learning from him? By that smile, by that have a nice day, what are we doing? Two things. We're listening to them because they're saying no thanks. And we're, according to time, place, and circumstance, understanding their needs, interests, and concerns, injecting just enough hope and Krishna consciousness in their hearts by being friendly and smiling that evokes what you said, a little more trust. So maybe the next time, the next day, the next month, the next year, the next life, they'll say, yeah, let me check it out. So thank you. Very important point to build trust. And the way you break trust, one of the ways, is by trying to force something. You know, it doesn't work. Thank you.
So I'll just reiterate a few things what you just said. Like, I have a lot of experience in working in a retail, work with Costco and Starbucks and very large corporations. And one of the most important training all the employees are always given is called sales and service and those. But it's mostly about listening. Like in my own experience in businesses, a lot of times customers' expectations are not met, things break, we charge more, we do wrong. You know, all kind of things happens naturally, correct, over the course of the months and years. But one thing that helps is to listen to them. The employees who listen to the yelling customers or shouting customers, there's a shouting match going on. Even they tune them out, but just say smile and just keep listening politely and say, have a nice day, finally, and all. Most times I've seen 90% cases, the problem goes away, actually. Because they know that things are going to break, things are going to be expensive and all. So the listening is a very important skill even to be a successful in a life. Also, I have many employees who work for me. And each time I talk to them, basically I am listening. They just feel, oh, he's a boss, but he listens to me. You know, and then a lot of times they just love that somebody up higher or whatever it is, listen to them. And as a leader, one thing I had to learn very quickly after I started a business is that it's not like I can keep telling people what to do. Basically, I had to listen what they had to tell me. And the moment I became good at it, I started to see success in life, actually. So,
thank you. Good point. Nityananda Pran Prabhu, and then we'll go here. Nityananda, is it okay if we go a little longer? We don't want to...
Who am I to say? Sure. Fine. Have you seen the video, It's Not About the Nail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Vaish, you haven't seen that?
It's a fantastic...
Oh, it's fantastic. It's not about the nail. N-A-I-L. Not about the nail.
It's a fabulous video.
A little three minutes.
Yeah, it's a... So, in follow-up to Subal Prabhu's question, as a leader, although we're building trust when someone is speaking and we're listening, many times it's not necessary that we have to say something. Mm. All they want is someone to, that someone will listen to them. So it's not always required for us to
give an answer,
say something back.
Yeah.
It's a matter of knowing when they want to hear something versus when they want just to vent. And it's just someone is there to receive it, and that's about it. But that video is just a fascinating video. The short one, but very beautiful.
And listening, just to add to that, and Subal's point, listening builds trust. It also demonstrates you really care. You know, not that, I'm not saying I'm so good at all these things we're talking about here, but just, if you take the time to listen to me when I really need to talk, then you really care about me. And also sometimes we see, you know, we all know people that are a little, they like to talk maybe a little more than we can deal with, or sometimes people have some needs, you know, they're a little needy, and they like want to really talk. But when they feel that somebody really cares, that neediness goes down. And when the neediness goes down, then we can start to think better about others, which is part of Krishna consciousness, isn't it? When we realize, Christians have such a wonderful expression, God loves us, you know. When we realize Krishna actually loves us as we are in our fallen state, he accepts us and all, then we're not so anxious, because we know we're connected with somebody that really cares. And then the more we understand that, we can give. But when we're thinking, when my heart's empty and I don't feel loved and I don't feel cared for and I don't know if I have any position in this universe, how am I supposed to care about somebody else? I'm in crisis. I can't care about you. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking so I can tell you about my life. Okay, your mother died, you're in the streets, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. You know what happened to my knee yesterday? You want to hear something important? I scraped my knee. Isn't it? And they're friends because nobody else will talk to, and you know, it's sad. So we want to change that. And that's part of, like, I'm your servant. If you need to talk, let me try to hear. And through that hearing, Rupa Goswami, that's how love's developed, by taking that time to hear. One of the ladies, Manaji?
Prabhu, I was particularly thinking that what is the role of individual personality when it comes to being a leader? Because some people have a personality to share and some people have a personality that they just keep things to themselves. So it seems like the vision is not clear when it's not communicated. So for the people who are following the leader, then if the vision is not clear, then it's difficult to follow. So I was particularly thinking about personality of different leaders. Does it have any significance?
Yes. I mean, we all have different personalities. And, you know, some of us are more outgoing, some of us are less so. Some of us have different types of skills. But in Krishna consciousness, if you're really bad at something, you should try to do that with love for Krishna. And if you're really good at something, you should learn how to do that with love for Krishna. And if you're not so good at something, you should learn how to do that with love for Krishna. So I may be by nature a really, just example, you know, somebody may be by nature a really good listener, but they should try to do that for Krishna. And that way they're going to really evoke the best result, which is helping people come to Krishna. And I'm not such a good listener. I can learn how to be a better listener for Krishna. You know, a classic example Prabhupada gave, he said, of Prabhupada's example, if I got it right, that he actually commented at one point that Jadarani Dasi was not a very good painter. She didn't have, Prabhupada says she's not a good painter, but because she had devotion and a desire to serve Krishna, Krishna gave her those skills. And, you know, she's painted some magnificent paintings. And there's many, many other examples. So, you know, we may listen to somebody talk about, you know, like, you know, somebody may live, give like really, really good kirtans. Maybe we're not so good at it, but the time may come when we're called upon to lead a kirtan. So we should try to learn as many skills as possible, the proper mood, how to lead kirtan as best we can. And maybe they only ask us once, but the one time we're asked, we should do it right. Maybe we're not so good at listening, but when somebody comes who needs to be listened to, we should try our best. And then if they need more help, we try to connect them with somebody who's really good at listening or whatever. Does that make sense? You don't look like it makes sense. You don't look like you think I made sense, is actually what I was trying to say.
No, Prabhu, I was just thinking about what you were saying, processing it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, Prabhu, last question. I never thought of that before, but it actually makes sense, you know. Whatever I do poorly, I should do with love for Krishna. So, you know, like I'm not particularly good pujari, usually don't do much pujari service, but if I was in a temple again where they needed my pujari service, I don't have such good hand, you know, coordination, all that stuff. I can't do anything fancy the way I dress the deities, but I should do the best I can. There's nobody to give class. I may think, how can I give class? Well, you know, you've been here one day, you can give class the best you can. And part of that being aware of our own strengths and challenges and trying to build on our strengths and you know, being aware of our limitations, but still trying to grow in those ways too. And that's part of surrender. Jeez, Krishna, I don't like doing this, but you want me to do it, I'll do it. I'm a very private person, Krishna. Why are you putting me in this position? But there's nobody else here. I'll do it. There's nobody cooked the offering. Oh my gosh, I haven't cooked in 8 years. Okay, I know what salt is. I know what sugar is. I'll do my best. There's nobody. I'll do it for you. You know? It's not the Goswami offered the Lord, but Jai Chapatis with something. His deity complained, there's no salt. Right? He said, what can I do? So, okay, following his footsteps, I can do something here today. And that's what's like just unbelievably astonishing. You know, that's the nature of God. It's what our scriptures reveal. He's not an angry man punishing people. It's all about his individual relationship with devotees. We are so small, and he's so big. But if you offer him with love and devotion a chapati with no salt, he'll accept it. Now, if you go have salt in your ashram, you're in trouble. You know, if you keep it for yourself, that doesn't work. But if we offer that with devotion, that's the nature of the Supreme Lord. It's inconceivable. A chinchin. Yes, but we'll ask question. Comment.
When we're building relationship, even if it is a momentaneous relationship, when we're doing book distribution or something, necessarily we need to build that trust component in order to break the ice as an icebreaker. But when the relationships are established, wouldn't be a factor like a faith factor, a faith component on one another, like faith, I know where you're taking me, I don't care what is what you're saying or advising me, I faithfully trust you, but is in like a little more than that? I don't know, like faith.
That's a question or sounds
yes.
Like a comment?
Both, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, does yeah. Does trust
no,
grow?
You know, it's still my mind right now. Like,
I think Prabhupada doesn't he define like faith is implicit trust in something sublime.
Yep.
Faith, right? Faith is trust in something sublime. Implicit faith in something sublime. So they're similar words. And when trust becomes deeper, becomes faith. You know, you have faith in someone, trust in someone. You can kind of interchange the words, but we want it to go deeper. Just I'll add one final thing. Part of that trust is, and again, this takes a little practice, and just part of being able to listen to people is to have some genuine interest in them. I mean, you may be a brahmachari. Okay, but somebody's got 6 kids to like generally care, like, you know, hey, it's not my lifestyle to have 6 kids, but wow, 6 little bhaktas, that's nice. What's their names? What do they do? You know? Oh, you look like a gopi. You know, you say that to a little 3-year-old girl, she's in ecstasy for a week. You know? So like, what's their needs, interests, and you know, and understanding, you know, and we understand the pure devotees, we're not there, we can't fake it. Everything's connected to Krishna. You know, everything's connected to Krishna. So, like with book distributions, like so it's you see something about them, wow, that's a great car, because it's not like just Maya. It's, wow, it's a nice car, because it's Krishna's energy. And hey, here's a book about the chariot, that the body. So, you know, they say the best conversationalist is someone who's really interested in you. So to try to awaken that sense of break down these barriers, you're that body, I'm this body, we have something in common, we don't have something in common, but to generally care about that other person, then you can really listen to them. So that takes humility and effort to really see this person. They, you know, they may be fat, thin, tall, short, this color, that place, this gender, race, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're a spirit soul, and they're in a particular situation. So let me understand who they are. You know, like you meet somebody like a nuclear scientist, you go, wow, I don't know about nuclear science. Tell me about it. And then if you're genuinely interested in them, then they want to know, well, who is this amazing person who's genuinely interested in me? What makes you like that? Why are you different? And tell me about yourself. You know, if you really want to hear and learn about other people, then it's just a natural thing. They want to, if you listen, then they want to reciprocate and find out about you. And you start telling them about Krishna. And then they want to hear. But if you just open up with, let me tell you what I know, it doesn't work. It's not as effective. It may be some effect. Okay? So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vaishnava Sangha ki. Yes, Prabhu.